Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from UBC's Vancouver campus, located on the ancestral unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Seth, this is Album Club, and this is Harry Belafonte.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and
is a day, oh.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and me want go home.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, is a day, oh.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and me want.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day-o, day-o.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day.
Harry Belafonte with Banana Boat. What a classic. Banana Boat Deo. What a classic, classic song that is. It's from his album Calypso, which came out in 1956. And I learned this week was the first record to sell a million copies, the first LP to sell a million copies, which is just crazy. And I found that out on Wikipedia, but I did my proper research and I managed to find it as written in the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress, because the album is so well regarded and such a foundational record that it was chosen for, you know, forever preservation. By the Library of Congress in the National Recording Registry, and the entry for like the kind of few pages of notes they wrote on the album when it was added, say in there, that sort of confirms the fact. So I think that's as good a source as any. The first record, first LP to sell a million copies, which is just crazy. So this is Album Club, as I've said, and I'm Seth, and I like to talk about some albums for an hour. The first one will be Calypso by Harry Belafonte. Why have I come across this? Well, I always like to play an old album. I like to play a new album. I like to play a Canadian album. This is our old album today. I came across it because I started watching a new Adult Swim animation called Common Side Effects, which is quite good fun. It's about the farmer industry, and it's quite fun. But as the closing credits to maybe the first episode or the second episode, they use Jump in the Line as the closing credits song. And I was like, oh, that's a classic tune. So I quickly grabbed my phone and went to put it in my classics playlist. And I was like, oh, it's Harry Belafonte. Because, like, I sort of aware of him, but, like, not super aware. And I've seen Beetlejuice. Admittedly, only in the last sort of 18 months. But I have seen Beetlejuice, which, of course, features several, I think, four songs from Calypso, Banana Boat and Jump in the Line, among others. I think there's four of them in total that feature in the film. So if you've seen Beetlejuice and you're thinking, why do I know Harry Belafonte? That's why. You know the classic scene with them at the dining room table? I think that's Banana Boat, isn't it? And then maybe is it Jump in the Line in the sort of closing scene where she comes back and she's flying in the air and Beetlejuice is floating her around? Not Beetlejuice. Yeah, and the ghost kind of floating her around. Can't quite remember. But yeah, so lots of classic songs. But then I was like, well, if this is, you know, one of the most foundational albums. You know, this is way before the Beatles, way before the 60s. We're talking 1956. He knocked the album when it first entered the charts. Actually, knocked Elvis's debut album off the top spot, and went on to spend 31 weeks, I think consecutively, but certainly 31 weeks at the top of the charts, which is just wild. It spent 68 weeks in the top 10 and 99 in the top 100 on the charts at all, in America anyway. I'm not sure how it charted in Canada. But yeah, just crazy. The album itself is called Calypso. You may be unsurprised to learn it features a lot of Calypso music, which is a sort of a Trinidad and Tobagian? Trinidadian and Tobagian? I don't know what the possessive form of Trinidad and Tobago is. But it's from music from Trinidad and Tobago. Sort of a combination of folk styles and laid the groundwork for lots of kind of reggae and that kind of thing. Lots of it came over from Africa. Lots of the rhythms and the kind of the structure of the music came over from Africa, as did lots of Caribbean music. The album also features mento, which is a Jamaican form of music, and various other kind of island musical styles. But yeah, primarily kind of mentos and calypso and a few bits of other pieces here and there. But Harry Belafonte himself was actually American born. He was born to Jamaican parents, but born in Harlem, I want to say, or Brooklyn. I want to say Harlem. And went on to be a hugely successful musician. He was also an actor. He's one of very few people in the world to have won. Does one win an EGOT? Is one an EGOT? I'm not sure. But he has won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. Although it should be said that the Oscar was in a non-competitive category. I think it was a sort of honorary career award. But still, one of the few people to have won one of those four awards. Also incredibly well known for his civil rights activism and kind of general social causes, was a close friend and confidant of Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, just did a lot of good things, was quite instrumental in or quite heavily involved in the Nixon JFK election, and yeah, all sorts of a really interesting history. And I think what's interesting about this album is, as I was writing it, before I really knew, I'd sort of seen a word somewhere about him being a civil rights activist, but before I really knew much about Harry Belafonte, I did note that I felt this album had kind of hints of social commentary, I think particularly racial commentary. Not obviously so, and I don't think it could be for an album that sells a million copies in 1956. I think it has to some extent be a populist album, not to in any way dismiss the album. But something like Brown Skin Girl, which is the penultimate track on the album, I haven't deeply dived into the lyrics, but is kind of about white colonialism and the exploitation, employment, somewhere in between, of black people, or in this instance, a brown-skinned girl, as kind of childcare. And, you know, there's just little hints of kind of social commentary. There are comments here and there about blue-eyed children, and the closing track is Man Smart, Woman Smarter, which is quite a funny, silly kind of tongue-in-cheek song, But actually, at the end, it does feel like it gets a little personal. Maybe there's a slight racial comment in there. And it's just very interesting. You can hear the kind of already at the start of his career, really. You can hear his kind of awareness of the world and the way the world works and perhaps an unafraidness to put it into his music, if perhaps only subtly. I think there's also a lot of gospel kind of theme in there as well. Well, not theme, but a lot of gospel influence in my mind, especially something like Hosanna, which I don't think you can really say it doesn't have some kind of biblical imagery in it. I think even the preceding that, the Jackass song, which is just about a donkey, but it has a kind of slightly gospel kind of swing to it, and it keeps saying "let him pray," and I kept hearing it as "let him pray," so maybe that's just me hearing something that isn't there. But it's a really, really fun album. You can see why it sold incredibly well. It's only half an hour long. It's well worth sticking on, and just like, especially now when the sun is out and you feel good and you feel alive, and you just want to be out in the sun with, you know, this is Calypso music. This is music for sunny islands. So if it's not the music for, well, I guess it's maybe not the music for May. Maybe it's the music for July and August. But yeah, we're going to have it here in May. So from Harry Belafonte's debut album. Oh, no, I don't think it was his debut. I think it was actually technically his second album. Anyway, from his album Calypso from 1956, the first ever million-selling LP. This is one of my absolute favorite. I really love this song. I do adore her. I think it's a really sweet love song from the album. I just think the rhyming of, like, the little chorus, I should have written it down, but at one point, frequently in the chorus, he rhymes, "I do adore her" with "if I could amore her," and I just think that's delicious. I think that's a brilliant bit of lyric songwriting. So, yeah, this is a nice little love song from Harry Belafonte. This one is called "I Do Adore Her."
La la li la 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 li la 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 li la 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 li la. When shadows fall and stars appear, the pain I feel I cannot bear. If I could relive that fateful day, I would not turn my love away. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. When I think of her tender lips, gentle touch of her fingertips, reminisce on her eyes so fair, moonlight soft on her downy hair, I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. If someday I should see her smile, hold her hand and me heart beguile, feel her warmth, hear her earnest prayer, darling, shield me from all despair. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. Now I'm standing alone and sad, thinking up on the joys I've had. Time makes fools of man, they say, take me back to that distant day. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her. I'd reveal how I do adore her, hang my heart on my sleeve just for her, all my love throughout life assure her, if this moment I could amore her.
Is the simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's RIDEON Bike Shop. See you there!
Hello again. Well, that was a little bit of the one and only Harry Belafonte, absolute legend. And that was I Do Adore Her, which I think is just like such a sweet song. It genuinely just makes me really happy. Okay, we're going to be talking about a couple more albums throughout the show. Don't you worry about that. We got some Blonde Shell coming up and a Canadian icon to close out the show. But there are a couple of other little side bits I like to do in the show just to keep things interesting, keep it fresh. I'm a great proponent of records, basically. the physical bits of plastic, I think they're great. I especially like going into record stores, and there are some good ones around the town here in Vancouver, but there's always some good record stores around if you have a little hunt. And pretty much every record store worth its salt has a nice little, like, you know, bargain bin. $5 and under. Toonies, whatever it might be. And I love rooting through those and just finding a record that visually looks cool. Just something I think, I'm like, I see it and I'm like, oh yeah, I would have that on my wall. That looks like a cool print. And then I like to buy those. And if they turn out to be good music, then all the better. And if they turn out to be rubbish, then at least I've got something interesting to put on my wall. And we're going to have one of those $10 and under records right now. We have, I'll put a photo of this on my Insta story maybe. We have a record called When You Walk in the Room. It's a 12-inch single by Ramming Speed. I haven't managed to find much info about Ramming Speed thus far. I think they might be Belgian, he said with little confidence. I will try and find out a bit more info while we're listening to the record. That record was just released in Belgium. I see. Well, as in that particular 12-inch, I was looking on Discogs. We will see. I'll see what I can find out about Ramming Speed. They might even be Canadian. Actually, I think it was recorded in Toronto. Now I look at the back of the record. So maybe this is a Canadian group. Either way, the cover is super, super cool. It's by Diagram Studios. Couldn't tell you anything more about them, but that's the credit on the record. And it's got this really, like, really cool, like, Phoenician ships, sort of Greek Phoenician ships. It's got that, like, Phoenician eye. If anyone knows what a Phoenician eye looks like, then that's what is coming to mind on the kind of prow of the ship. I think it's the prow. I don't really know about ships. Might be the stern. Don't know. The front of the ship, anyway, has some eyes on it. But it's just a really nice, kind of slightly abstract. The colours are beautiful, mainly like this really nice blue, nice kind of royal blue, and a really nice kind of goldish kind of colour, like a slightly greeny, yellowy gold, and a really kind of bright red that's a little hint of maroon in there, a little grape in that red. And those are like the three colours that make up the kind of imagery, obviously, on white. But it's just a really beautiful, quite visually arresting image. It appeals to my classics background, and I've no idea what it sounds like. I think it's going to be like disco-y, electronic-y, dancey, synthy pop kind of thing. I know that's like five different genres in one there, but basically we're just going to see what it sounds like. I might not play the whole thing because it is like 7 minutes long because it is a single. I might fade it out at some point, but let's see what we think, shall we? Is this a good record, or is it just a nice piece of wall art? Ramming Speed, When You Walk in the Room? Let's find out. Well, that was Ramming Speed, or most of it anyway, with When You Walk in the Room, which it transpires, I have now learned in the intervening time, is a cover of a Jackie DeShannon song. Jackie DeShannon, who was a very early kind of rock and roller, especially female rock and roller, she's best known for singing What the World Needs Now is Love. What the World Needs Now is Love. Which was a fantastic Burt Bacharach song. Love, sweet love. Put a little love in your heart, which I don't recognise. I'm just reading off the Wikipedia here for Jackie DeShannon. But she also wrote When You Walk in the Room, which we just had a cover of, originally released in 1963. And she wrote a favourite song of mine, Betty Davis Eyes, which massive song for Kim Carnes in the early 80s. But she also wrote When You Walk in the Room, which we just had a cover of from Ramming Speed, who I am fairly sure are an Ontarian group. They recorded or released When You Walk in the Room on Attic, which is a Canadian record label based in Toronto. I think they might be a Canadian group, but I'm not certain of that. I'm fairly sure they're from Ontario somewhere, but I could be wrong. But there we go. What did you think? Do you think that was a good record, or did you think that was just a nice piece of wall art? You tell me. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
Well, we're going to get onto some more albums in just a moment. But before we do have one more non-album feature. It'll come up after we talk about our next album, but it's worth doing it now, just to give me a little bit of time. We have a big old archive here at CITR. It's fondly called the CIT Archives. And there are about 11,000 records in that room. And it's only around the corner, and I know the code. So I'm going to go in there, and no one can stop me, apart from the people in charge, and they definitely could, but I don't think they will. So I'm going to go in there in a bit. I'm going to get one of those records. But which record am I going to get? Well, let's pick together, shall we? Completely at random. There are about 11,000 in there, so I have got a random number generator here, ready to pick a number between 1 and 11,000. And then we'll chat about some other stuff, and then I'll play some music, and I'll go and get the record, and it'll be seamless. Easy peasy. So what is our number today? Our number today is 5,816. Okay, I will go and find record 5816 in a little bit while you guys are listening to some other music. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Blonde Shell. This is our new album for this week. As I say, we'll actually one old, one new, and one Canadian. Our new album for the week is Blonde Shell's If You Asked for a Picture. Now, I almost played this for you a week or so, last week, I think, and I didn't. I played you something else instead. Maybe it was the Walt McClements. No, it wasn't Walt McClements. Oh, it was Time Indefinite, that weird, like, kind of country ambient album. Really cool record from William Taylor. But no, this is Blonde Shell. Blonde Shell is, I think, from London, certainly from the UK, and this is her second record. She originally I don't know why she's from London at all. She's from LA. She just feels like she should be a London singer-songwriter, but she's actually from LA. But she gives me, like, I don't know if you know Marika Hackman, or, like, maybe, like, Phoebe Bridgers' Boy Genius, but maybe not. A bit more, like, rocky than that. Don't know. Her real name is Sabrina Teitelbaum, and she performed as Baum, B-A-U-M, for a little while, which is apparently more pop. I haven't listened to her music as Baum. But then in 2022, she released Olympus, which was her debut single, as Blonde Shell, and very shortly afterwards followed it up with Kiss City, and then the debut self-titled album, which was good. And I remember listening to it actually quite near the in 2023, not 2022. 2023 she released this album, and I remember listening to it quite near the end of the year. My good friend of mine Hannah sent me the record and was like, oh, you should give this a listen, right towards the end of the year. And I know it was towards the end of the year because I do a like top 50. I do my favorite 50 albums of the year every year. It's not necessarily the best, but my favorite 50 albums of the year. And I was putting that list together, and I remember putting together the first draft of it, and then my mate sending me it, listening to it and thinking, oh well, that now has to go in the top 50, and having to find the space for it. I also remember thinking that it was just like a really solid rock album. I really like the two singles, Olympus and Kiss City, absolute bangers. Kiss City has like really nice, like catchy, it's almost like as pop as you're going to get with Blonde Shell, certainly in the first album. And Olympus is a beautiful kind of soaring rock song. And I remember just kind of thinking outside of that, the rest of the album was like solid. So I went back and listened to it last night, and it is just like, it is a really solid rock song. Like a lot of the tracks, like Dangerous, which closes the album, is a bit more, maybe about as ballady as it gets on the first one. Things like Sober Together, Join are just really nice, solid rock songs. And I remember feeling that about the album at the time. Similarly to another album called by an artist called Bully, the name of which I completely forgot, but rather pleasingly, they came out similar times, listened to them at similar times, both really solid kind of like indie rock, but like singer-songwriter girl rock albums. Really pleasingly, on my fifth, my top 50 list, they are next to each other. It's Blonde Shell and then Bully, because I just do it alphabetized. I don't rank them. So they kind of sit next to each other, and I just think they're a really nice pair of albums. And then the best part of it was about a few months later, sometime in early 2024, they released a single together. It was Blonde Shell feat Bully on the track Docket, which is well worth listening to. Docket is actually just like a really good tune. Well worth listening to that one. Anyway, all of this is to say that I've listened to some Blonde Shell before and quite like her. And she released a new album called If You Ask for a Picture, which came out on the 2nd of May, so just a couple of weeks ago. Really enjoyable. Has certainly grown on me. Like, I liked it. It seemed like a good rock song, a good rock album first time around. It's really grown on me as time has gone on. Always hard to pick just a couple of songs. Gotta say, Model Rockets is a lot of fun. It kind of feels, again, like a solid rock album, but there's just a bit more exploration. I was going to say invention. A bit more exploration this time around. Event of a Fire is kind of maybe the Dangerous equivalent. It's really beautiful and really quite sad. Kind of soaring. Lots of... it just feels like the instrumentality... Is that a word? Don't know. It's just been expanded upon. There's more production. There's more depth and texture to it. As I say, Event for Fire, really, really beautiful. If quite sad. It has the kind of hefty rock moments where the guitar just kind of gets to let loose. And that doesn't feel out of place in comparison to the rest of the track. It feels well-structured and well-constructed. I'm going to play you 23 as a Baby, which again I think is the most poppy kind of song, a bit like Kiss City on the prior album. Really catchy chorus that I can't get out of my head. You've got like What's Fair, which I almost played for you. It's probably my third choice to play. It's almost kind of pop punk, and I historically am not a massive pop punk guy, but it works here. Or there's something like Arms, which is almost kind of more new wave in its feel. So it all feels like solid rock, but just a bit more exploration. Each track's a little bit more different than the first album. So I think it's shown really good, like really interesting progress. The songs are still beautiful. I'm going to play you Thumbtack, which is the opening track to the album. I'll play it for you in a minute. I think it kind of sells the album quite well. I think it sells the album quite truthfully. And there's a little vocal lick she does at the end, like, ha, 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 which it makes me smile every single time I hear it. It just makes me look up and smile every time I hear it. So I'm going to play that for you. But before that, we're going to have the slightly catchier, slightly poppier 23's A Baby. This is Blonde Shell from If You Asked for a Picture. Yeah.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Hello again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Seth, this is Album Club. We've just had some Blondshell, we had Thumbtack, and before that 23's A Baby. Excellent album from Blondshell. If you asked for a picture, it came out Friday 2nd of May, just a couple of weeks ago. Well worth diving into. And as I say, the first album, the self-titled, also worth your time. We've got one more album to talk about. We've got a Canadian icon coming up to close out the show. But before we do, we have actually another pretty iconic group for our random record. Now, I went into the archives and I found record 5816, which was our randomly picked record. And it is The Sonic Youth with Sister. And I am right to say The Sonic Youth because for some reason on this one record they decided to call themselves The Sonic Youth, not just Sonic Youth. The album is Sister LP. It was their fourth studio album. It came out in 1988. 1987. A loose concept. This is all just according to the Wikipedia article because I didn't have that long to find out about it. It's a loose concept album, like its follow-up Daydream Nation, which I have listened to. I've listened to Daydream Nation and Goo, but I don't massively remember either of them. It's been a few years since I did. But this one, Sister, inspired in part by the life and works of American science fiction writer Philip K. Dick. It was ultimately named Sister as a reference to Dick's fraternal twin who died shortly after her birth and whose memory haunted Dick his entire life. Sister was also the original title of opening track Schizophrenia, and Thurston Moore often introduced it as Sister in concert. I generally like to play just the first track on our CIT Archives record if I don't have anything else to choose, or it's a sort of an obvious thing to choose. Or something that particularly catches my eye. So I think we will just go with this opening track, Sister, often referred to as Sister, but actually officially called Schizophrenia. Sonic Youth, one of those bands, a bit too alt-rocky for me when I first listened to them, which was a few years ago. I feel like I've come to appreciate alt-rock more over the last few years. So we'll see. Maybe this is the time I get it really into Sonic Youth, and then next week I'll come back with a whole Sonic Youth album. I'll come back with Goo or something for our old album. It was super well received, lots of like 4 and 5 star reviews, 9 out of 10s. Pitchfork, I think, in one of its Pitchfork every Sunday do they review an album that they didn't review at the time, that they think is kind of worth going back to. In 2019, they did a Sunday review for it, gave it a 9.8, which is just wild. It's been called one of the singular art records of the 1980s, surpassed only by Sonic Youth's next album, Daydream Nation. That was according to All Music editor Stephen Thomas Erlewine. Okay, let's see what we think, shall we? What's the universe served up for us today? Has it picked well for us? Well, we'll find out. This is Sonic Youth, or rather The Sonic Youth, with Schizophrenia, the opening track to their 1987 album, Sister. More run-out groove than I thought there was. We'll be right back.
are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Well, we are reaching the end of the show here on Album Club. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. That was Schizophrenia. That Sonic Youth song was a bit moody, wasn't it? I mean, I think that's probably a good word to associate with Sonic Youth. So, yeah, I quite enjoyed that. I'll have to dig into some Sonic Youth at some point. Maybe they're worth a revisit. Everyone else seems to think so. We've got one album left to talk about. We've done an old album, Harry Belafonte's Calypso. We've done a new album, Blonde Shells, If You Asked for a Picture. We've got a Canadian album now. It's from an iconic artist. It's an iconic album. You might have heard of Shania Twain, and you might have heard of Come On Over. It won various prizes. It won... It won Grammys, the Grammy for the Best Country Album. I think it won Album of the Year at the Country... Yeah, the Academy of Country Music Awards. It won Album of the Year. I was looking at the wrong part of my notes. And it won Best Country Album at the 38th Grammy Awards. Hugely successful. I'm not going to play you the massive, massive hits, which I could do. Man, I Feel Like a Woman, legendary song. Come On Over. That Don't Impress Me Much. You might have heard of that one as well. Some brilliant tunes on this record. But I'm going to play a couple. I was listening to it this morning on my way in. I picked out a couple of nice ones. Black Eyes, Blue Tears, which I think has a little bit of the sadness of country in there. This album, obviously, was her third album. Moved away from country towards kind of country pop a little bit. Moved away from like pure country to kind of country pop a little bit. Kind of rock-infused, or pop-infused country rock. But Black Eyes, Blue Tears, I think, is kind of quite a nice country kind of song. And I'm going to play the title track as well, Come On Over, just because I quite enjoyed it. And I didn't know the title track, and it is the title track, so I feel like it deserves its place to shine. A couple random tiny tidbits before we jump in, because I've only got about 30 seconds if I want to get it all in. The album had 12 singles, 16 tracks long, it had 12 singles, of which 6 of those charted in Canada. I think it had 3 number ones in the UK, which were... Oh, no, sorry, 3 top tens in... Sorry, 3 top tens in the US, which are You're Still the One from this moment on, and That Don't Impress Me Much. And it's also, I think still, certainly at the time it was released, the highest-selling country record by a female artist. Sold over 10 million copies. A hugely successful record, and well worth your time to dive into. So we're going to have Come On Over to close out the show, the title track, and we'll have Black Eyes, Blue Tears before that. I've been Seth. This has been Album Club on CITR 101.9. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you have a lovely week, and we'll see you next time around. This is Shania Twain. In the corner,
your self-esteem and be forever free to dream. Get alive, get a grip, get away somewhere, take a trip, take a break, take control, take advice from someone you know. Oh, come on over, come on in, pull up a seat and take a load off your feet. Come on over, come on in, you can unwind and take a load off your mind. Make a wish, make a move, make up your mind. Can choose when you're up, when you're down, when you need a laugh, come around. Come on over, come on in, pull up a seat, take a load off your feet. Come on over, come on in, you can unwind and take a load off your mind. Oh, 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 oh. Somewhere, take a trip, take a break, take control, take advice from someone you know.